like the Black Panther flight jacket, by
the way. Yeah, you know, I had to do it. I had to do it.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Cool, man. Cool. And you're in Houston, right?
Yeah. Awesome. I'm hearing an accent from you, like, up north. Are you from, like...
Take a guess where you think I'm from.
You, like, from Jersey? You know, you from, not Boston.
Definitely not Boston.
No, okay.
I can't be from Boston and wear a New York...
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. New York.
Yes. I'm from New York.
Okay.
And it's crazy because most people can like pin it. They're like, oh, you're from up north or you're from New York. I haven't even turned on my accent. My accent really, really turns on when I'm playing video games.
Because okay.
I'm in like the corporate setting. So, you know, I got to turn on my white voice, my all that BS. But when I'm in the mode, if I'm in competitive, if I'm playing video games or anything like that, or like if I'm talking on my live, accent will really start to come out. I'll start to say shit like deadass and wilding and all that, you know, all the shit that social media deems that New Yorkers say, which most of it is true.
Yeah. That's what's up.
There we go. Cool, man. So, no, I appreciate you actually taking the time out. I appreciate you hopping on my live too, man. So I always got to ask, like, what made you hop in? I always want to get people's perspective because I'm trying to grow whatever it is that needs to be done on social media. So I want to know the habits of people.
So, I've been getting into the Reels thing ever since IG, let us know that they're basically moving to more video, right? Yep. Many of the artists that I follow and that I look up to kind of shying away from it or not really liking it. I am, though, and I've been really picking up on trying to get my Reels game up, which has helped my editing, right? You know, having to chop up videos real quick, it makes you think, okay, what's a good story to tell? So, of course, I look at Reels all the time, and yours caught my eye, the way you chop them up, the way you tell your story and give your opinions on, you know, everything nerdy. It really was interesting. I liked your takes. I liked also, too, a lot of times you give a view from both sides of an issue, which a lot of people are not willing to do these days. They want to stick in their camps and not elevate them like, well, I don't know if that's such a good take. See it from the other side, and then you may have a different view. So, I appreciate that from you. So, yeah, your content's interesting, and I really like it. I'm a fan.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that, man. You're making me freaking blush over here, even though I'm black. Sound mad girly. But anyway, welcome to the show. Today, I have Rodney Anderson Jr. He is a writer and artist of Trinity Blade Dragon Falls. This guy got 65 backers on his Kickstarter in 5 days. I want to make sure I have those stats right, and I want to make sure that I elevate those stats because these motherfuckers need to know, like, the Kickstarter game, Patreon, whatever it is, like, that's not a light task right there.
Well, I definitely thanks for having me on the show, B-. I the Kickstarter has been a roller coaster ride for sure. Anybody who creates one knows exactly how much anxiety and stress levels go up during that month or so that you put it down. I'm not meaning to, you know, correct, but we funded in under 72 hours. We did. It was wild.
Talk your shit.
I have to give that all to the fans and fans, friends, family, the 3 S, who definitely held a brother down and made sure that we crossed that initial first goal. Because it's definitely something you want to do early so that you can focus on other things like stretch goals and stuff. So it was a hustle from the beginning, from before the beginning of the start of the Kickstarter. I was definitely, getting the word out pre-launching. So, yeah, it was a hustle. It was a struggle. I'm proud of the work that all my fam and all the team working on it, because I got to give a shout-out to the wifey, Bianca. She did the video. She is my photographer slash videographer. Fellas, wife you up a videographer and a photographer.
That seems like the magic right there. It's like everybody that I see that has successful Kickstarters and campaigns, it's like, yo, their wife is running shit in the background. Like, you wouldn't believe how many people that I sit down with and their wife is just like into it. Like, they're making sure all the flyers are set, banners for the Comic Cons. And I'm like, oh shit, like, yeah, that's a power couple right there.
Well, you know, because, like, a dude mine is just, like, hustle, get it done, right? But we never really sit back and see, okay, how does this appear to everybody, right? So, yeah. Bianca's excellent with that. With, like, and she's great with not, you know, being touchy-feely, like, kind of like, oh, okay, that's kind of good. No, no, she's like, that don't look good. No. You need to change that. You know what I'm saying? She's straight up like, yo, that sucks. It's like, oh, it feels like a knife to the heart for a second, but I know baby girl got my back and she wants the best for me. Yes. So
sometimes you need that shit. Sometimes you need somebody to say, yo, that shit is trash. Like, that's one thing. Like, a New Yorker will tell you something is trash, from your outfit to your sneakers to everything. So that's why anytime that I do something, I need to make sure, like, this shit is, like, A1 in some sort of aspect. Like, if the video is not high quality, then what I'm talking about needs to be fucking on point. And, you know, I'm always open to that criticism, that critique, and I love that you're open to that too. I see a lot of people that are super sensitive about their artwork. They're super sensitive. They don't, like, take critique and advice well. You know, how do you do that, especially coming from your wife? Like, I know that shit.
Yeah, because it's brunt and raw.
Yeah, right. It's like, you can't just, like, leave. It's like, no, now you gotta sleep right. Yeah. Breakfast with her, like, house. Check out the kids, all that stuff.
Yeah, right. So I'm a comic book art teacher too, and so sometimes I have to be blunt with students. But, you know, in order to be blunt, compassionately blunt, I have to have felt that. So, you know, I'm still an up and comer, still learning, but in the earlier days when I first started out on this career artist journey, even before that, I'm dropping facts and, you know, people are going to check the age because I'm an old head. I went to school for comic book art. I have a degree in comic books, and that journey, critiques were a part of it. The teachers would rip you apart and you would feel, you know, like crap, but then you had to pick yourself up. And then they encouraged all of us to take that one step further and get your stuff critiqued by industry professionals. Mm-hmm. And so when you go sit your stuff down in front of an editor, they have no reason to pat you on the back, to tell you what you want to hear. They have no reason. So they will take that knife and just, your anatomy sucks. Your paneling is horrible. Layout sucks. So it's just, work on that. So if it's like a badge of honor, if you can develop a thick skin for critiques like that, and I highly recommend anyone wanting to do any kind of art field, but especially comics, to find professionals, find editors, especially, working artists, the bigger the better, sit your stuff, your best work in front of them and let them rip it apart. It's a cheat code for getting better and actually getting up in the industry. It really is, because it tells you exactly what you need to do to get better. You don't have to fumble around in the dark. You have a direct line from, being an amateur, being lame, having horrible line art, to seeing down the line exactly where to go, being a top tier professional artist, because someone told you exactly what you're doing wrong. And eventually, and I was doing this for a few years, and eventually my last big critique was with Will Spertasio. You know Will Spertasio?
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, okay. You need to go back. This is a teacher, Rodney, coming out. Go back. Look at this dude, 90s X-Men. Okay. Do you know anything about Cyberforce? It was one of the original Image comics.
It's crazy that you mentioned that. I don't remember. I talk about this all the time. is my mom bought me Image cards. So it was like, yo, it's like, yo, me and my brother, it's like, yo, we like Marvel and DC. What the freak is Image? And buy these cards, but the cards look super dope because they were all glossed up.
Yeah,
and they
had
the Cyber Force. They had the they had so many different weird ass characters that were kind of like Marvel and DC like. But yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, Will Fortasio was the creator and artist of Cyber Force. So
there we go. Okay.
So I got a sit down and critique from him, but it was the last one of the day. I had been sitting in the critique area for 10 hours, waiting to get my stuff shown and seen by these artists and stuff. And his wifey came by and was like, yo, this is the last one of the day. He's tired. It's going to be a little shorter. I was tired, and I was like, yeah, it's all good. I know what the deal is. Okay, so let's do it. So got up there. You know, I've read this dude's comics since I was little. So I was kind of shook, you know what I'm saying? So set it in front of him, opened it up, and what came out of his mouth was, man, you got style. I was like, yo, I'm done. In my head, I was like, okay. Close this up. Let's
we
go.
Good.
Thank
we
you, sir.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? We good. But he definitely gave me a ton of pointers, and gave me some great tips of how to get my style to even higher level. And it was the same tips that everybody was giving me that day. So you'll know that you're ready to get out there, not because you all of a sudden become like God tier penciler or inker or colorist. It's that you start getting the same critiques, the same level critiques. It's not all over the place. It's not anatomy and layout and paneling and line weight. No, it's like a few things that can easily be changed. So it's all anybody watching your vid that wants to get into comics but is struggling with like the time frame, how to do it, how to advance, this is the cheat code. Find an editor to rip your stuff apart. Get that thick skin and keep doing it. Keep putting it out there. Rework, put it back out there, and eventually you'll grow. You'll grow faster any other way. It's like trial by fire. That's what it is, straight up.
Bro, this is like the easiest interview I've ever done, bro. You are fucking going in, bro. I fucking love it, man. It's super dope, man. So you said a whole bunch of stuff. Let's take it back because you talked about getting an editor. You talked about Kickstarter. You talked about having people you talked about a whole bunch of stuff, right? Let's go back. Let's talk about Rodney real quick. Talk about your childhood growing up. Like, how did you get into this stuff? What else are you into outside of comics and everything?
So I am for real an OG fantasy head. So I'm about to put a timestamp straight up on me. I come from the era of the Thundercats, the He-Mans, the Conan the Barbarians, She-Ra, Beastmaster.
Okay.
Young Tom Cruise in Legend.
How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 45.
Well, you don't look 45. I know you got the gray hair. You got the gray hair and all that. You don't look 45, man. Yeah, it's very, very rare that I run into somebody who's like older than me. So, like, I've been meeting a lot of people that are around my age, mostly everybody's younger. But once you started saying He-Man, Thundercats, I'm on record saying Thundercats got the best intro out of all
cartoons that
the
intro
of mankind.
Fire. It gets you so hyped. Honestly, people just watch the intro and then just waited for the outro. A lot of episodes, like the filler episodes, because if the best episodes were always the week-long like trials or something of Lionel type stuff. But yeah, that intro, fire, man. Oh my gosh. So that's what influenced me, is that kind of swashbuckling, Dungeons and Dragons type stuff. That's what I grew up with. It was all about afternoon cartoons. So after school, I was running home after I got off the bus to get in on that first scene of whatever cartoon was hot then. So yeah, that's kind of my origin overall. Like that's my starting point, especially with fantasy.
Mm-hmm. I always like to ask this. Like, one of the things that I'll ask my mom is, yo, how is it going from watching black and white television to now having an iPhone? I want to ask you that same thing. What is it going from watching like Johnny Quest and He-Man and Thundercats to now that level of animation that we have now? Like, and I want to say level of animation, and I'm going to call it out DC, because DC does amazing jobs with superhero animation. And
Oh, yeah.
How is it between that area? Because most people, like, they don't experience that.
No, that's a wide gulf, you know. And, you know, if you're not into the nerd world, like, at my age, you're probably, it's not your thing anymore, right? So, for me, it's been kind of a cool journey, but sometimes kind of difficult in definitely, like, the 90s was like the dry spell, I think. There wasn't really anything new and hot until Avatar. Avatar had that OG feel.
I'm about to stop you right there. Don't you dare disrespect the 90s. Cannot disrespect the 90s. The 90s is the era of cartoons and adult comedy.
Okay, Toonami, yes. That Toonami.
I'm talking before Toonami. I'm talking about, like, even today I was watching Our Real Monsters. Like, the comedic timing, the animation in that is A1. What else did we have? Yeah, we had so much stuff in the 90s, man.
I'll give Cartoon Network all of their stuff. You know, Dexter's Laboratory. All of that block was just awesome. And kind of changed the game a lot, too. So, but yeah, for me, in the 90s, what hit for me the most, based on my 80s kind of starting point, was Avatar. And just the concept. Last Airbender, yeah.
That wasn't in the 90s. That was like early 2000s, right?
Was that early 2000s? Okay, yeah, that's how long it's been. It's like that time stretches out. But
there was fire in the 90s, bro. Like, first of all, you like Pokemon? Gargoyles?
So, okay, now we're talking. Gargoyles was hot. I was not a Pokemon. Batman animated series is legendary. One of the greatest series of all time.
Mantle top three of animation cartoons of all time.
Absolutely. The episode with Joker, where he, well, the card game episode, one of the greatest episodes of all time, where all the villains were talking about their experience with Batman from their point of view. And then the Batgirl Dies episode. That was the rawest episode. Because I was like, they played it all the way to the end where we thought Batgirl had died. Joker pushed her off the edge of the building. And Jim Gordon was like, Batman got my baby girl dead? Oh, no. I was like, I didn't know Jim Gordon could get raw like that. Bro, that episode freaked me out, man.
Series. I got a meme that I use of when all of the when all of Batman's villains are sitting at the card table and they're looking like back. I forget who they're looking at. I think they're looking at Clayface. They're not looking at Clayface. They're looking at, who are they looking at? I can't remember. But he says something stupid, and they're all looking at him, but it's silent.
He threw a rock at him? No, that was Killer Croc.
It was Killer Croc, actually. It was Killer Croc. Yes, and they're all, it's Joker, Poison Ivy, Penguin, and Two-Face. Mr. Freeze, I believe, looking back at him like, what the hell? But I put the SpongeBob music over it, and I repeatedly use that for DC fans, which is hilarious. So anytime something crazy happens and now people are in love with DC or the DC bandwagon, I put that video, and it's just a hilarious clip, man.
Oh, no, yeah, no. So I'll definitely take the L. See, I'm always willing to take the L with my time.
Bro, like, I'm an 80s baby, 90s raised me. I'm never going to let anybody disrespect the 90s. Don't get me wrong, the 80s is legendary. I would say between the best eras of human mankind, fuck Cleopatra, Jesus, I mean, you know, that was cool, I guess, but when it comes to the eras of human beings, the 80s and the 90s are the greatest eras of all mankind.
Well, you know, obviously, like, if we just, I'm just going a little tangent with hip-hop, most people say late 80s, early 90s golden era, right? And that's usually, for most, honestly, in most genres compared to now, you're right, absolutely right. It's like they that 80s, 90s golden era as a sliding bar is kind of where most people land. So
it was the boom of everything. Like, think about it. In the 80s, you went from, like, not early 80s, like late 70s, early 80s, you went from, like, having video games that you could bring home, arcades, cartoon, like, literally all this stuff. And then the 90s just refined all of that stuff. So where you had He-Man, Johnny Quest, all of those. What's that other one with the I can't think of the name. I always
forget. Oh, describe it.
It's the one where the dude had the He had like the weird creatures that were, and they remade it. He had the weird the rhino with the horn and it spit out like fireballs. He had the dude with the caveman freaking club. They had the little like orb thing with the black eyes. Oh. I forget the name of it. I always forget the name of it.
Yeah, I'm forgetting the name of that one too.
But either way, and then transitioning over to the 90s where you have like Batman animated series and Gargoyles. Superman had his own series. Yeah. There was a ton of different cartoons I can't even think of right now. You could see the upgrade between both of those, between video games, comics, and cartoons. They all had like their growth and their transitions, which was freaking amazing, which now laid out the foundation for everything that we have right now.
Absolutely. And in the 90s, they got a little more raw too. There was one cartoon I remember, I'm thinking it was more 90s. You remember Exo Squad? Remember Exo Squad?
No, that doesn't sound familiar. If I saw a picture of it, I'd probably remember.
Yeah, that one was super raw because it dealt with some heavy stuff. Like, I remember watching it. It was about humanity in the future. And they, in order to conquer space and planets, they created a genetically formed like slave race, and they revolted. And it was like, they were always pitted as the bad guy to humanity, but then you could understand, like, nah, man, we ain't doing what y'all say. And it was like, and characters died, and they didn't come back. And I was always shook, like, oh, that killed him. He was dead.
Like, yeah, that's fire. That's fire.
Yeah, I was like,
I gotta touch on anime too, like Fist of the North Star. I know that was 80s. Was Ninja Scrolls 80s or 90s?
I feel like that was close to the 90s. Some of your fans will probably correct us in that one, but I feel like that was a little more 90s. I remember that a lot of it was coming over on TV too, on like the normal channels that the American cartoons would. I remember Ronin Warriors. You remember that one?
Yep.
Ronin Warrior was dope. Yep. I love that. God.
There was another one that was dope too. I'm terrible with names, man. I'm terrible with names. It's like when I'm put on the spot, it's like I can't think of it. And then I'll be like washing dishes later and I'm like, oh, that was the fucking name. Why didn't I think of it? I watch that shit all the time.
Right.
But yeah, there was so many just like 90s, just everything, anime, cartoons, video games that like laid out the foundation for everything that we have. And that's the shit that obviously it's inspired me, and I know it's inspired you too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I feel like now, like with, to bring back to the original question, like now seeing this crazy evolution over this long time span of animation and seeing the craziness that can happen with like technology now. It's amazing, beautiful, like, you know, everything is just on next level. You know, obviously the big ones, you know, my man Miles and Spider-Verse, it just, you know, mind blowing. It's like a moving comic. Yeah, I mean, you say it a lot. I've said it a lot in a lot of different animated cartoons, but no. And now it is. They literally created a whole new style for this awesome piece of animation. And that year, they rightfully won animated feature. That year that first one dropped, there was nothing even close. I think that was the year Incredibles 2 came out. That it blew it out of the water.
Incredibles 2 was a great story, but as far as animation wise, like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse smoked it.
Yeah, smoked it.
If that didn't come out, I would definitely give it to Incredibles. I think Incredibles 3 should have already been greenlit. But, you know, that's just me. I'm an old shit. Who? It's
fucking Disney.
That's good. I want that perspective because I got a lot of young people that watch me and they don't know. Like, kind of remind me of Pandio. Pandio, he is a phenomenal artist. He's actually an art teacher just like yourself who writes his stories and does the artwork. So when you were telling me that on live, I was like, oh, nah, hold up. I got to, like, check this dude out. I went to your profile, checked your Kickstarter. I haven't even read your project yet, and I was like, yo, I need to get you on the pod because I understand what it takes to actually be able to do all of this shit. And then I saw you in your video on Kickstarter. And then I think I was on your YouTube channel and I saw you were editing videos on Luma Fusion.
Oh, yeah.
I fell in love. I was like, this guy does everything. I was like, that is what I'm talking about. That is that shit. Now, don't get me wrong. Do you need to kind of like build it up so you can, you know, be able to one day financially hire your own team to take all of this shit? Absolutely. I'm always
absolutely. I mean, because, you know, the one man band thing is admirable. But the thing I didn't know that I now realize I need is like time away from the boards. You know what I mean? I got a wife and I got a son now. And it's like this ever present, you know, 10 to 12 hour hustle is not sustainable. Right. So eventually.
Absolutely, bro. Do you think I want to be doing everything myself? I want to get to a point where I just sit in front of the camera, talk shit, and the team handles everything. I want somebody to, I want to pay a downloader. I want to pay somebody to edit my shit. I want to pay somebody to create reels and TikToks for it. I want to pay someone to manage my YouTube channel. I want to pay someone to massage my back because when I'm sitting in this chair hurts and this is a new chair. I want to pay someone to be able to bend my brim to the New York brim. You know, I want to pay someone to pick out my shirts. Right? Yeah. Just me picking out my shirts was taking time. I was like, all right, cool. Am I going to wear the Levi? I'm like, yo, should I do the Mario Kart? I know Mario's dropping. And it's like so much stuff. It's like, yo, I need to pay somebody to do this.
Right, right. So you can just do what you do best or what you have the most fun with, right?
Exactly.
All the other stuff is, it's extra, you know, and I feel the same way. It's like, you know, I've gained these skills because I've had to, but for me, and a lot of people ask me, like, to describe myself as an artist, I'm a penciler. The pencil is what's king to me, whether, you know, traditional or digital, and I just want to put lines on the page. That's it, right? That's all I want to do.
So you start off with pencil and then you transfer it to digital?
I'll say the olden days. Like, it's only like a few years back when I made this digital transition. But, so I used to work, I should have had everything prepared. I don't have
it. It's all good, man. It's all good. We can see the artwork in the back, too. I see America. I see, who's that, Leonardo? Who else we got back there? I see Kylo Ren. Mm-hmm. Is that like Wonder Woman's lower half?
That's Nubia right there.
Okay. Is that Miles Morales next to him?
Yeah, Miles Morales right there. And then another original character from my series from Trinity Blade's World. Her story's coming in a bit. Her name's Zuri. Like a female warrior elf with the spirit of a goddess inside of her. So, story.
So let's talk about your story, man. Let's get right into it. And like I said, I haven't read your story. We literally just met, whatever you want to call it, yesterday on live. But I told you how quick everything was, and then I hit you up today. I was like, yo, can you do this weekend? I mean, I got time today. And you were like, yeah, yo, let's do today. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. That's how I know you're fucking hungry.
Yeah, man, you know, because I know how it is. Like, it's like when you get that spark of inspiration or you get that little sliver of time to drop some content, it's like, yo, you got to do it. You got to hit it. It's like, you know, lightning. It never strikes twice in the same place. So, this is it. This is it, y'all. Trinity Blade, it's my original black fantasy. definitely a passion project I've been working on for years. This is issue one. Okay. And the Kickstarter for issue two is popping right now.
Logo's fire, by the way. I like it.
Thanks, man. And just to let the heads know, it is funded. So at this point, pledge is a pre-order. It's guaranteed. We're going to print, so you ain't got to worry about that. But what you saw on the boards, we have now 5 days left in the campaign. So it's 5 days left. So definitely want everybody to jump on if they can. It only costs $1 to support for the campaign to get a reward. The first one digitally is $15. But the story is about a young warrior named Tal Granji. He's a gifted swordsman, and he comes from a family of great warriors. His parents died right after his birth, however, and so his grandfather, a great village elder, is who raises him and who trains him. He is his sword master, as well as his sword maker. So he's gifted him this super cool training sword to prepare him for the ultimate weapon, the Trinidaji, the Trinity Blade. So it's a action adventure. Tons of swashbuckling, and I'm very influenced.
Paul.
Oh, go for it.
What the hell is swashbuckling?
So I keep saying it because it is an old term. Obviously, I'm old. It just means a lot of sword fighting, swinging action. Right. Lord of the Rings is something that's swashbuckling. It has a lot of action and sword play, warriors fighting against evil and stuff like that.
I love a good. This sounds mad crazy. I love a good sword play piece of content, whatever you want to call it. Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, Kill Bill, Baroni Mansion, like all of that shit. I freaking love it. Not to mention Star Wars. I think Star Wars has one of the most creative ways to do two people battling with, obviously, swords, but lightsabers.
Well, it is. I personally consider it a space fantasy more than a sci-fi thing. It crosses those boundaries back and forth. But for me, think about it. You have warriors with swords. Laser swords, the original term for the lightsaber that George Lucas came up with. Space wizards, right?
Star Wars is originally, like, the original first movie was based off of an old Japanese movie based on samurai. So
yes. Yes, highly influenced from all that old samurai Akira Kurosawa stuff back in the day. I'm dropping stuff. Sorry.
We need this freaking knowledge, bro. I fucking love this shit, man.
Yeah, I highly recommend people go back and watch those old samurai black and white joints, Akira Kurosawa. If you're a video gamer, I think the closest thing now is Ghost of Tsushima.
Immediately I was going to say that. Immediately. I'm from the era of Tenchu, of Shinobi.
Oh, Tenchu,
Ninja Gaiden. Like, those are my shit, right? And I'm not talking about Shinobi, like, the one for PlayStation. I'm talking about Shinobi for Super Nintendo.
That's way back. Yeah.
When you were in that white and pink suit, and it was impossible to beat the little freaking balloon level.
It was impossible.
Yeah, anytime I see somebody beat that, I'm like, it's fake. You put in cheat codes. There's no way you beat that, bro.
It's all cheat codes. No. That's all with, like, what was that? The Game Gear that gave you the cheat. Oh, yeah. None of that.
I used to use the Game Genie, man.
The Game Genie.
I had Game Genie for Super Nintendo. What did I use for Sega? I can't remember what I used for Sega.
I can't remember. Them's was the days, man. I can't remember
what I used for Sega, but when I got, like, when obviously technology moved on, I used to download emulators on the school computers and also my computer, like, back at home when I had it. And then they allowed, like, the emulators allowed you to put in, like, cheat codes and shit like that. So, like, dude, so I was like, yo, give me infinite lives. Give me so I can't, just so I could, like, see the end of the game.
Because back then
were impossible to beat. If one of your friends told you they beat Sonic, Acro to Acrobat, like any of those games, you knew they were capping.
No. Because they were meant to be, like, near impossible. Even the fighting games, like, the bosses went, like, God tier. And I think somebody from Capcom said, yeah, that we did that on purpose. So, yeah, not all those in tier bosses were always meant to be that way.
I don't even think I ever played Street Fighter to play with a computer. I was always playing with a friend. Maybe I played with, like, a computer to practice and shit like that. But, I never played it to actual beat it. Mortal Kombat was stupid hard once you started to, like, move up in the tournament.
Yeah.
Those games were freaking impossible. Now I feel like games are starting to get back to that difficult level. For a minute, it was, like, video games were just, like, super easy. It was, like, beat that shit dumb quick. Like, I remember beating Mario Galaxy the same night I bought it. I was like, yo, I need to turn this shit. Like, yo, this is too quick.
Nah, I remember, obviously, the one of the greatest, like, Mario 64, first 3D Mario, I still look at that game, it's just like, man, Mario, the mushroom's 3D, it's 3D, it blew my mind. It was the same reaction I had when I first saw those shiny blocks with the original Nintendo. I was like, yo, that little dude is running up on the blocks and he's shiny, yo. I must have begged my parents, like, forever to get a Nintendo back then. Bro, man, but
life when I got a Nintendo 64, I was like, there's no way life could get any better than this. I got the 64, Mario 64. What else? I had, like, a bunch of, like, miscellaneous games, and then when Donkey Kong Country, like, I felt peaked for me. I felt like it could not get any better. After getting a Nintendo 64 and Super Mario 64, like, I thought it was done after that. I thought it was all
until for the rest of GoldenEye. GoldenEye, bruh. So GoldenEye hit for me in college, and that was the dorm game. That was the game that all dudes would go over to whoever had the 64. And yo, we would just talk.
There's no way GoldenEye came out when you were in college. Because I was playing GoldenEye at elementary school, and I'm, like, 9 years younger than you. There's no way.
I mean, are you sure?
Maybe you were playing it in college, but there's
maybe
no way.
Maybe
we were
playing
bro.
It. It felt like
GoldenEye came out, like, 98, 99?
That's when I went to college. I went to college in 98, so.
What? Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta look up the exact date. Oh, time out. No, we gotta pull it.
See, this is good because it's making us reminisce to bring that forward and compare it to now. So it's good to know date.
Oh shit, yo, that's crazy.
It's 97. Okay, so it was 1 year before I went to college. So yeah.
It could have came out. It could have came out. Fall of 97, and then you were playing it in college. I don't know, but either way.
No, I went to college 96. See, that's how long back. Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
How was that pot? Yo, I was in college. I started college 07. 007. That's funny. Yeah, 07.
That's funny. No.
What's the stupid thing, stupid themes that you do when you're in college? Not in college, in high school. We were graduating 07, so we were it was the corniest shit ever.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it was. You know what I'm saying? That's how big this nerd culture is, that it frames your life. And, like, you plan big moments of your life around it, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think that's why it's cool. I think that's why, I feel like it's kind of waning a bit now, kind of because of, like, the quote-unquote superhero fatigue. It's not superhero fatigue. I think it's poor quality stuff coming out. That's just my opinion. So,
yeah.
Mainly MCU stuff, which is why I'm ready to jump on DC.
Now we gotta spend some time here. Let's go. We're gonna go back to talking about your project and like your work and all that stuff. First of all, I'm Marvel gang all day. Iron Man is the GOAT.
Okay.
Captain America, Steve Rogers. Nobody is fucking with him. Winter Soldier has to be one of the best superhero movies of all time.
It is. It is. It's on my top three. Absolutely.
I understand what you're saying about superhero. I'm sorry. I understand what they are saying about superhero fatigue. Where it's like, you know, are people tired of superhero movies? Or is just the quality going down? Is the laziness? Or are people used to it and now we need like a new key bump? It's like, yo, when cocaine was popping, and it's like, oh, we had to remix that shit and then crack, and it's like, oh shit, now we got something new. It's like, yo, what do we need to do?
So for me, it's I relate it to movies, and so I'm talking about stuff before my time, because I go back and come forward to help inspire my work. So the last big genre that hit like superhero movies was the Western. The Western was ubiquitous. The Western was just ever present in that time frame, and like kind of all the way through the 70s to the early Western 80s, movies, right?
So like the Clint Eastwood, yes, like all that shit.
It was nothing but Westerns. And then the quality just kind of dipped off. It was just a dude with a gun, and you know, you had some lame bad guys that he would shoot, and it just got bad, right? And then we saw a resurgence, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, with deconstructions of the Western, right? It would either be, or like, oh my gosh, what is Rockstar's Western?
Red Dead.
Yeah, Red Dead. So they, I mean, deconstructing basically either a man out of time, where the Western life is out of vogue, and so this person is like a dinosaur. Okay. Or just something super hardcore, where it's like super hardcore revengey, like pushing the good guy narrative that persisted through most Westerns to the edge. Like, is this person really a good guy now? They've been so bent. So it's a deconstruction. And I felt like that's what Winter Soldier was, or we saw the beginnings of a type of deconstruction. And then Logan, for me, was a deconstruction of the superhero. So, you know, his time as superhero, like, you know, Wolverine, he's seen all his peeps die. He's old now, so his healing factor ain't working right. He really doesn't want to be a hero, but there's this one last mission that he got to do. He can't avoid it. It's a mission that is him. It's literally, he has to. And so he goes out.
I love that movie. That was one of the best. Got to be one of the best X-Men movies.
Absolutely. It was a deconstruction of the superhero mythos or genre. So it's these things come in waves. So, you know, I just see what's going on now as a dip in quality, like it was with the great Westerns, you know. So it'll always be here, like the Western will always be here. Every now and then we get Westerns, right? People aren't into them as much anymore. Maybe they'll come back, but the superhero will be the same thing.
I mean, obviously, I know you're using Westerns as an analogy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take it like realistic now. It's like, I can't get into Westerns for some reason. The only Western that I was able to get into was The Harder They Fall with Jonathan Majors, Lakeith, whatever, and Regina King.
Oh, yeah. How was it? I didn't get a chance to see that.
That was actually very good.
Was it? Okay.
Very good. Idris Elba was in it. That was very good.
Yeah.
I know Westworld is like huge.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get into it. I always try to watch episode, like the first season, episode 1, 2, and 3. And like when I get to episode 2, I'm like, all right, get this shit out of here. Like for some reason, I can't get into Western. But I know that's beside the point. I know you were using it as an analogy.
No, because it's a niche genre. It's a niche genre that had its extreme high way back in the day, and now it's back to niche status. So superhero movies, we've had them since, you know, that original Superman, right? Way back in the day, you know, it got big because of the character. But after that, you know, there were There were some, and even in the same series, there was a lot of flops.
There was a lot of flops. There was a lot of flops until Batman came into the picture.
Until Batman.
Batman had an amazing run. Even with their TV shows, like I remember watching the Adam West series when I was younger on like TV Land. I don't think they called it TV Land, but like I remember watching that shit. I remember watching all that shit with Brady Bunch, Flipper, all that shit. I Dream of Jeannie, like all of that.
Yeah, you know your stuff. Yeah, so it was. We had superhero content for we've had it for a long time. So the genre's old, I think, at this point. It's just now. With the rise of these sprawling universes, obviously, especially the MCU.
I get it. I could see the qualities dipping. I could see the effort on the production team dipping a little bit with the Doctor Strange Third Eye and the CG effects on MODOK, whatever you want to fucking call it. I could see it. Are the movies still good? Yeah, they're good, but I feel like because we have all of the other movies that were legendary to go back on that is now our gauge, these same movies that if these were the first wave to come out, our minds would be blown.
Right.
But now it's like, you know.
Yeah, the bar is set very high. It's set very high. And so it's hard for the creators working on these movies. I do feel for the you know, lower to mid-tier, you know, heads working on these, and even to directors and writers working on these, trying to make something, you know, dope and meaningful, and then get hampered by studio, you know, politics sometimes, or budgetary constraints. Yeah, I get it, you know what I'm saying? So I think you and me both are trying to have kind of an open mind and try to see, you know, the goodness, because we love this stuff, we love this genre. I have no doubt it will continue. It's just the pace. Is the pace gonna slow to a snail's crawl, like the time frame between the original Superman movie to the Batman movie to Blade, right? To, you know, it's like those are long spans of time between those pivotal moments, right? We've been kind of spoiled getting, you know, movie after movie after movie. So I don't know. I think I'm okay with a little bit of slowdown. What about you? Are you okay with like pumping the brakes a bit or what?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I use this example a lot. We can go into how everybody is used to scheduled programming with television, and then a Netflix drops and they give you all of the seasons at once and everybody loves it. Mm. It's the hottest thing since like fish grease. and people kind of get like numb to it and we're used to it. And when you come out with everything at one time, it's like you have a hot second, but you don't spread it throughout, you know, the year or months or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then people or companies are going back to releasing episodes one time a week, like we've seen HBO Max do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So do I think there's like ebbs and flows with everything? Of course. I think Marvel is going to, and Kevin Feige and everybody is going to start to say, all right, cool, maybe we do need to pull back. Mm-hmm. I think whoever is heading Star Wars or whatever the freak is going, I think this is a learning experience now. It came out of the gate with Mandalorian season 1 and 2, phenomenal. Book of Boba Fett,
speaking of which, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you see that trailer for Ahsoka?
I have never been so excited,
bruh,
for
Jedi
something in the last like 2 years,
bruh. You, you know, fantasy guy, getting back to raw Jedi action, raw Jedi Sith action, man.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm my fingers are super crossed that this holds the line. You know what I'm saying? I'm
Yo, it's like when you had that girl and you know, you was feeling, but you've been with that girl for so long and you're like, ah, damn, you know, I need to try something else. And you try something else and then all of a sudden you start missing that old thing and it's like, yo, we had it good. And it's like, yo, let's get back to the fucking lightsabers.
Yeah, right.
The lightsaber battles, we saw two, I think we saw like two or three either Sith Lords or I don't know whatever they are. They don't look like
Yeah, I don't know if they're Sith, but...
Are they Inquisitors? Maybe.
It might be Inquisitors. Know. You might be right about that.
So I guess there's way more Inquisitors than like we expected. But either way, like we need to get back with the shits. We need to get back with the fighting. And how I kind of want to spin this is for you writing your stories. Mm. Is there anything that you're learning from these specific situations with these major companies and the mistakes that they're doing that you could incorporate into how you tell stories and create stories?
That's actually a great question. I appreciate you asking me that. So for me, I'm doing story arcs for Trinity Blade. So, you know, there's a overarching threat throughout the world, but there are going to be many, many stories within the larger story. I really like that format. And it helps me to be more concise and not get lost. And I think it's easier for the reader to keep up as well, too. There's not so much going on. You come into something and it's a compact story. Bits of the overall overarching story will come into it. But right now we're dealing with this. My character Tal is dealing with this. So... The first story arc is Seasons Change, Dragon's Fall. That's the overarching narrative title. And this one's going to be 4 issues long. So, and I'm not holding to that count for once I finish this one up. It might be a 2-issue thing, might be a little longer than 4, but they're going to be mini series. Within the story overall. So I think that format is easier to digest, easier to jump into. And you're like, oh, I didn't get all of those previous issues. Well, you're good if you just want to jump into this story. And I'm going to, for each issue, give a summary of what happened. I love that. I love that comics started doing that. It wasn't something... that I first noticed in comics when I first started reading in the 80s. I think that's more recent 90s and 2000s comics that give the recap of the story. And I love that. I think that's...
You're talking about the recap of, like, the last issue. You're talking about, like... Okay.
Yeah.
Yo, that's an anime thing right there.
There you go. So...
That's an anime thing.
You know, that I think is very important to get your readers to pull them forward or to get new readers and like, oh, maybe I should go back and check that other one. That sounds cool. So, I'm, you know, Trinity Blade definitely influenced by manga and anime. I don't know if you wanted to go into that right now.
We'll save that. We'll save that for Patreon.
Okay.
And I was saying it's an anime thing, and I was saying anime as far as like comics, but I know television has been doing that. It's like next time on All My Children. Yo, Rodney, man, I appreciate you taking the time out, and I appreciate you hopping on my live, and I appreciate you, man, just reaching out to me. We connected. I saw that there was a vibe there. I saw the work ethic that you were doing, man. And anytime that I see that, it's like, yo, I immediately need to have a conversation. I need to help you promote your shit. Your work ethic speaks for itself, man. So congratulations on all your success. I know there's more success coming, man.
Thanks, man.
Man, I appreciate you just, you know, being a guest, man, and taking the time out.
Hey, dude, I'm just a crazy old dude trying to put some lines down. So I appreciate you, taking the time to have me on your show and, you know, giving my work some shine. I appreciate it, man. I'm going to keep putting these lines down as long as I can. So yeah, y'all follow me, and definitely, I'm open to, you know, anyone wanting to see something in particular too in the story. So yeah, it's a dynamic thing, Trinity Blade, and y'all, I want fans to be a part of the process too. But yeah, be modest, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate you having me on and letting me talk about it even a little bit. So yeah, it's cool.
Dope, man. Dope, man. Appreciate it. For all of the Patreon members, we're going to stay back a little bit. We're going to talk about all kind of shit. I had some questions for them, but then we started going on different tangents, but we'll figure it out. But YouTube, catch you guys later. Deuces.